You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning and a happy Thursday morning to you, Sooners Nation. Welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Thank you for joining us. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. And joining me today, as he does every day, is former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_walk74. You can also hear him on the Iron Horse podcast with Brandon Carr. David, how you doing on this fine? Well, it's a rainy morning where I'm at here in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. How about yourself?
Also rainy in Frisco, Texas. The tornado alarms went off last night, which, being a native Oklahoman, hardly registers with me. I hear the warning, you know, they hear the siren. You're kind of like, okay, is it really legit? But of course, you take the precautions, you wake your kids up, you do all the things. And so definitely struggling today on a Thursday morning after a faux tornado warning.
Well, the storms between Oklahoma and Texas started brewing a little bit earlier this week when Gary Patterson was asked about whether or not Chandler Morris would be released and eligible to play in 2021. And he said, well, that's Oklahoma has not released him to play yesterday. And there was a lot of conversation on social media yesterday. I joined the Locked On Horned Frogs podcast to discuss it. And David, man, you know, Lincoln Riley kind of gave a little bit more of his rationale as to why he hasn't allowed Chandler Morris a waiver to play this year. You know, basically it comes down to, he doesn't think that guys transferring within the conference should be granted immediate eligibility. And those are the current rules within the NCAA, within the Big 12. And he's just kind of sticking by that. And so, I mean, I think it speaks to a lot of what we talked about yesterday, in that, you know, why should Lincoln Riley kind of do this favor for Chandler Morris and for the Horned Frogs when he's kind of losing the benefit of having Chandler Morris in his program?
Yeah, you know, I kind of went off on this yesterday, and if you missed our show yesterday, you can go back and get my initial take on this. But after sitting on it for 24 hours and seeing more and more social media fodder, you know, Jason Kersey put out a tweet with Lincoln's quote on the situation. And of course, you get a few hundred quote tweets where people like petty, this and that, the standard unintelligent, uninformed take of, well, he sure didn't mind it when Baker and Kyler were doing it. As if, like, it's that hard to Google search and find out Baker Mayfield sat out a year, Kyler Murray sat out a year, and the only reason Jalen didn't sit out a year is because he was a grad transfer coming from another conference also.
Right.
So this – it's fascinating to me how many people don't take the time to actually, like, process their thought before they just spout it out to sound cool and sound smart and sound intelligent and then end up looking uninformed. So that – particular take of, well, man, he's sure like the king of transfer quarterbacks, you know, blocking this is so petty and whatever, and a bad look and all this stuff. But here's the thing. Like, you know, what's a bad look? It's not Lincoln Riley sticking by the rule of the Big 12. What's a bad look is if Oklahoma carries the Big 12 on its back for 6 years and counting, and they kowtow to a bottom feeding team in the league to accommodate a player that you signed to a scholarship, you developed all year long, who scored a touchdown in the Big 12 championship. It's not like they were just had this kid on the sideline, not trying to find a way to get him involved. They didn't bury him. But now all of a sudden, like, Lincoln Riley's the bad guy. Sure. Okay. Like, that's one side of this argument. The other side of this is the Sooner fan who's like, man, I'm a big Lincoln Riley fan, but I can't stand by him on this one. It's like, what do you actually want? Like, do you want this to be a cutthroat program that's trying to win a national title and not give any single opponent any edge whatsoever? Or do you want them to be this like Mother Teresa program that's just going to like facilitate everybody in the Big 12 getting whatever they want from Oklahoma, and then we'll still win the Big 12, we'll still carry the banner? Like, what do you want from them? Do you want him to be cutthroat? Do you want him to be all about Oklahoma and back his guys and his guys only? Or do you want him to be like, well, you know, whatever is best for you, if you're not want to be with us anymore, we'll just make it as easy on you as we can. And by that token, why don't we let Caleb Williams go to Texas next year? If he sits behind Spencer Rattler and Rattler decides to come back for a third year and Caleb Williams wants to go to Austin to play for Sarkisian and get immediate eligibility because, you know, it's best for him. Are we going to have the same conversation? I doubt it. No, I don't doubt it. I know for a fact we won't have the same conversation. But that's the situation. I feel like so many people want to take this stance whenever they perceive it as, well, it doesn't really hurt OU. But that's the thing. You set a precedent, and you can't walk it back. What if Marvin Mims says, you know what, man? I got a lot of family down in Texas, and I'd just rather be in TCU. I'd rather go play with Chandler Morris. I'd rather go back to Austin. I'd rather go do whatever. Like, where does the line stop? We're talking about Chandler Morris today. We could talk about somebody much more significant 2 years from now. So that's what Lincoln has to think about, the big picture, not Chandler Morris. Chandler Morris is a pawn in this game, but he made his bed. And now he's sticking his chest out, wanting to take it to the streets. And he doesn't have a leg to stand on because the rule says what the rule says.
Yeah, and then you got the other side of it is the fans from other schools that are crying foul about this. And I can't remember who tweeted this out, but it was by far the best take that I saw in response to all this. You do not want Oklahoma or Texas having the opportunity to get transfers and grant them immediate eligibility from whatever school in the Big 12. Because, you know, any guy that can opt out of his scholarship, not have to lose a year of eligibility, not have to sit out a year to go and potentially get a significant role at Oklahoma or Texas, there'd be a lot of guys jumping and taking that opportunity. Like a Puka Williams, Puka would have loved to go play for Lincoln Riley. If Lincoln would have called him and said, "Hey Puka, why don't you come down south a little bit? We'll gladly feature you in a role here and maybe get your shine a little bit higher, get your spotlight a little bit higher." I mean, you don't want Oklahoma and Texas having that opportunity. That's for sure.
Or let's flash back a few years. What if Patrick Mahomes was like, "Hey, you know what, man? Like, there's other places I could go play in the Big 12 besides Texas Tech next year." Yep. Or what if the running back from Kansas State
decides, Deuce. Like,
you know what? Yeah. What if Deuce is like, "Hey, you know what, man? I can have a really nice career here. I can be, you know, Darren Sproles 2.0. And look what that got Darren Sproles. It got him a Big 12 championship. Got him one. Mm-hmm. He didn't play for a national title, but I could go down south to Norman and play with Caleb Williams, all those guys. And I bet Lincoln Riley can find ways to utilize me." So does K-State want OU and Texas cherry picking their best players, have like a farm system in the Big 12? Every time somebody gets good, they're going to go to Austin or Norman or maybe Stillwater.
Yeah. I mean, there's gotta be something that de-incentivizes kids from transferring. And like, I get it. Like, if it's an out of conference thing and it's not going to be direct competition with the team, I understand. You know, if a coach wants to grant that immediate eligibility, that's fine. But again, it's one of those situations where the kid committed to the school, committed to the coach, and just because he wants out of that commitment, I mean, this isn't free agency. Like, right. Even in the NFL, guys who are getting paid, they can't just decide, you know what, I don't want to honor my contract anymore. I'm done. I want to go somewhere else. Now they can try and force a trade, but a team is not obligated to make any kind of move at all. And I mean, there's going to be a lot more to say on this, and I'm sure it's not going to be a story that goes away anytime soon because, you know, Gary Patterson, I think he's got his own level of petty, just like Lincoln Riley does. And that's just, you know, we talked about it yesterday. It's good for college football in the spring to be making headlines like this. So we'll talk more about it as more details come along. But before we do that, and before we get into talking about a list, because people love lists, shout out to Chris Arnold, I want to talk to you a little bit about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts when you can go to rockauto.com and save? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And I also want to talk to you a little bit about our friends over at Country Leisure. Have you ever thought about getting a hot tub? I mean, it's a cold, rainy day right now. Having a hot tub on your back deck, your covered porch, would be a perfect way to spend it. And maybe now is the time for you to get into hot tub ownership, pool ownership, and the people at Country Leisure can get you started. Located in Moore, Oklahoma, they can get to you anywhere in the state of Oklahoma. So it doesn't matter if you're way out west in Ada, you're way up north in Enid, you're down in the southwest in Ada or Beavers Bend, or sorry, not Ada, but Durant and Beavers Bend, they can get to you. The people at Country Leisure have been in the business for 35 years. They're experts in the industry. And they can get you set up with an above ground pool. And you might be asking yourself, why an above ground pool? Well, it's the least expensive way into pool ownership, and it's a much quicker installation process. In most cases, they can get you installed in a day. In a day, like you could decide to today that I want a pool, and maybe tomorrow, next week, they can get you installed. So make sure you go to countryleisuremfg.com, check out their website, see the different pools, hot tubs. They've even got lake toys, pool toys that you might need, inflatables, everything that you would need to have your pool set up. You can also call them or text them at 405-799-7745. Again, located off of I-35 in Moore, Oklahoma. Call or text 405-799-7745. Country Leisure, just add water. And get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And David, we had a fantastic list come out yesterday via ESPN. ESPN is always pretty good for a good list. And so coming in at number 67 on ESPN's list was Gerald McCoy, currently in the NFL. Where do you feel like that stands for him? Is that... Oh, and my apologies, this is the 80 best college football defenders of the 2000s. Is that right where he should be? Is that a little too low, a little too high? What do you think about Gerald McCoy?
I mean, I feel like if among Oklahoma defensive tackles, you know, I feel like he's had a better NFL career than Tommy Harris, but I don't feel like he had the same shine in college that Tommy Harris had for whatever reason. I think he was just featured differently. So I feel like that's probably fair for him. But he could have been higher.
Yeah, like I look at a guy like Jalen Ferguson, who played at Louisiana Tech, and I'm like, I mean, you're going to rank him 8 spots higher than Gerald McCoy? I don't know about that. I don't know about that one. And then coming in next at number 57, you had Rocky Kalmus, which, you know, he was a fantastic player for Oklahoma, had tons of accolades, was an All-American twice. Any issues with where he's at on this list?
I would be surprised that he's ranked 10 spots ahead of Gerald McCoy, honestly, just from a total body of work standpoint. And again, I guess this is not factoring in NFL success, so we have to take that out of it. I think it's encouraging that Rocky's at 57 from the standpoint that his best work was done in 2000, 2001. So this shows that they're putting a lot of stock in that first part of the century. So that from that standpoint, yeah, he's probably – I mean, he did lead them to a national title. He did win a Butkus Award. He was kind of a heart and soul of that Bob Stoops early defense. So yeah, that's probably pretty fair for him to be in that top 57 or that top 60 portion.
Yeah. And maybe the only, you know, just kind of looking directly ahead of him, one player that I don't even know who this guy is, and he just played in the last decade. That's Scooby Reich III for Arizona. I mean, I guess, you know, he had 15 sacks and 31 tackles for loss in 2014. So it was a great season. But as far as a body of work for what he did in college, was it better than Rocky's? I don't know. I don't know about that.
If a tree falls in the woods and nobody, you know, sees it or hears it, doesn't make a sound. That's basically like your linebacker at Arizona that had 15 sacks. Like, I'm knocking Arizona. So I don't know. Like Rocky Kalmus is a football iconic name, and Scooby's a cool name, and he had a good year, but I would definitely say Rocky probably had a better body of work.
Yeah, and then coming up next on the list, we had Tommy Harris at number 37. You already talked about where, you know, him and Gerald McCoy rank. But, I feel like this is about right. I mean, you're starting to get into the elite college football player. Kind of the next best defensive tackle ranked ahead of him was Ed Oliver at Houston.
Yeah, I think Tommy being up there is fair. What I was kind of alluding to with Gerald McCoy is for him to be 30 spots behind Tommy, I feel like that was kind of crazy. I don't think there's that big of a gap between those guys.
Right. And, you know, it's one of those things, you have so many college football players to pick from. Even if you rank him as the next best defensive tackle, like how many more linebackers and corners are going to be, you know, in between those two guys? It's hard to say. I have a hard time with Gerald McCoy being ranked so low. But yeah, we're Oklahoma Sooners fans. Also, we might be a little bit of homerism and on my part, but that's okay.
What we're here for.
Yeah.
We're here
for homers. Yeah. So, hey, Boomer Sooner. Coming in at number 35, we got Derek Strait, who made, when we put out our Bob Stoops all-time defense, he was one of our starting cornerbacks. Again, the last cornerback to win the Nagurski Award. The only other two cornerbacks to win the Nagurski Award, Champ Bailey and the name is escaping, Charles Woodson. So yeah, some elite star power to be in that kind of company with Derek Strait.
Two Hall of Famers, basically.
Yeah. And just behind Patrick Willis and Elvis Dumervil. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty, it's really nice to see that people remember his career being as good as it was.
Yeah. No, D Strait being at 35, I think that is right on. And I was, out of all the people on this list, I was probably most happy that Derek Strait was recognized, because I think he's a name that, you know, he's kind of a guy that has kind of gone away. You know, he's not a guy you see on the sideline. He doesn't have a big presence on social media. He's not a guy that's out there on the "there's only one Oklahoma" videos. You know, he doesn't have that presence that's always back in your face. He's just a guy who's almost like, he's kind of mythical in that way, because he is so subtle of a person as a personality. So really cool to see him in that spot.
And then coming in at number 19, you have the linebacker with the 4.4 speed, friend of the show from 1400 Sports Talk in Norman, Teddy Lehman.
Yeah, man. Fort Gibson's finest. My high school teammate, my college teammate, longtime friend. And, you know, it was really cool to see yesterday. And there was a movement when that tweet came out from Sports Talk 1400 about Teddy being number 19 on this list. There was a lot of tweets saying, now let's get him into the College Football Hall of Fame. And I think that's a push that needs to happen. I think he should be a College Football Hall of Famer. And you can call me biased on that, but the results speak for themselves. To be the Benaric winner and a Butkus winner, to be a two-time Butkus finalist, to have the All-American accolades and the team success. And also just the unique skill set of being it's a 4.4 speed, but the guy legitimately ran a 4.3 at camp in Norman, which got him the scholarship in the first place and turned him into this mythical figure of small town guy with no offers to Bob Stoops' first commitment. But people were talking about on Twitter yesterday, they were saying, man, when Teddy Lehman ran down a running back, it just looked different. Like when Teddy busted out in the open field and somebody broke loose and he just ran him down from behind, it was kind of like, whoa, it just jumped off the screen. And as I saw that tweet, I couldn't help but laugh and think about, like, yes. And he had done that very thing his entire life. Every town in Oklahoma, every small town, everybody on the schedule had that one kid that, nobody's ever caught them from behind. You know, when they bust out in the open field, they're gone. And then all of a sudden comes this big 6'2", 225-pound monster running down the field who would not only get there, but would get there with two hands on the back of their shoulders and drive them, like bulldog them to the ground, like rodeo style. And it was like an emphatic, I will not only chase you down, but I will hurt you when I get to you. And that's right. Just like this seek and destroy mode that he had and played with his entire career. So yeah, very deserving, a top 20 spot for Teddy. Definitely Hall of Fame worthy. As always, anytime you have a list like this, you'll have the haters will creep out because somebody has to be the contrarian and somebody has to say, well, too bad that didn't translate into NFL success. And look, that Teddy got a second round pick, started every game his rookie year. Some injuries started taking place, but a 5-year NFL run, he's drawing the NFL pension. And I think defining success in the NFL is something that the guys in the league define that completely different than a guy on Twitter that has 110 followers and no picture on his profile. So yeah, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Well, he went back and forth with a few of our followers on Twitter, and ultimately he found himself blocked in the middle of the night because I was tired of him.
Yeah. Our big listener, Kim Williams, kind of put him in his place. So shout out to you, Ken, for holding your ground there and giving some perspective there, because yeah, they're just trolls are trolls, man. And there's some good things about social media. There's some things that make you kind of want to pull your hair out too. And you got to take it for what it's worth.
And we will not stand by idly while Teddy Lehman slander occurs. So yeah. Yeah. And then coming in at number 7, we got the Superman of Oklahoma football, Roy Williams.
Yeah. I don't like it. Why is he not number 1? Tell me why. Just kidding. Number 7 is fine.
Yeah. So let's talk about the next, you know, 6, David Pollack from Georgia, played 2001 to 2004. Who? I mean, I guess he's a College Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Yeah. He was all right. He's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron Donald. I mean, elite.
Also good.
Yeah.
Also elite.
Khalil Mack. Elite. Buffalo. Yep. I mean,
yep.
Terrell Suggs from Arizona State.
No problem with that.
Yep. Ed Reed from Miami.
Well, which deserved.
That's a little different. I mean, he 98 to 2001. So I guess he's kind of in the 2000s. Yeah. And then Ndamukong Suh from Nebraska at number one.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ndamukong Suh number one. I will not dispute that in any way, shape, or form. That is the most dominant human being I've ever watched on a football field in college, period.
Yeah.
Bar none, any position, including Adrian Peterson running back. Ndamukong Suh did things I've never seen before.
Yeah, I think there's no debate there. He'd be in the discussion as probably the best defensive player of all time. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that. And so, hey, congrats to the Sooners that made that list. I think it's a fantastic group of players. But coming up next, we've got some coaching news to talk about on the basketball side of things. Who should be taking over the women's program? And we'll do that next on the Locked On Sooners podcast.
But first, I want to tell you about betonline.ag. This is the only place to go to lay your bets. We got the Sweet 16 coming up this weekend. We got the Elite Eight right after that. You got the women's tournament going on. You got the NBA coming down the stretch. Major League Baseball is about to kick off with opening day. BetOnline.ag has you covered. Go to their website. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you go get on the action by using the promo code LOCKEDON. They're the only place that has you covered, the only place we trust. You can go to their website. You can use their app. But that's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And I also want to tell you about Built Bar, as I always love taking the time to tell you about Built Bar. It's a part of my daily routine. I have at least one a day, if not two. I have one pre-workout. I have one post-workout. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. And right now, Built Bar has Built Bar Madness going on, where they're trying to determine who is the best flavor of Built Bar. And today, they have a fantastic matchup with Mint Brownie versus Coconut Puff. I'm typically a mint brownie fan. If I go to Brahms, I'm getting mint chocolate chip. But if I'm going Built Bar, I'm taking the Coconut Puff. It's a chocolate-covered marshmallow with a coconut flavor. That's moving on for me. And you can go and get your order of Built Bar by using the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. And are you ready for the NFL draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft hosts Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, David, we got some coaching things to discuss. The women's basketball team has started getting some names that are potential replacements for Sherry Cole, the recently retired Sherry Cole. And David, talk to me about these options. Who do you think might be the best option to replace Sherry Cole for the Oklahoma Sooners women's basketball team?
Well, there's a couple of former players out there that are going to be in the running for this. And I don't know how much steam they're going to get. They're both assistant coaches right now. I think a good place for them to start on this women's basketball coaching search, and there's going to be a lot of established head coaches that are going to want in on this. I saw Michelle Clark Hurd at Cincinnati being a name. I know she was at Western Kentucky, had success there, has been successful at Cincinnati. She doesn't have ties to the program, so that she'd be an outsider coming in, but she does have head coaching experience and success. But I look at a coach like Brittany Brown down at TCU, who's an assistant there, that was a former point guard under Sherry Cole in the early 2000s, a Norman North graduate who was a video coordinator for Sherry after she finished playing and then went to be an assistant at University of Tulsa for Coach Matilda Mossman. And then is currently, you know, been at TCU, moving up the ranks there with Abby Olajuwon at TCU, also a former Sooner assistant that's an assistant there at TCU. So I look at Brittany Brown and I look at that and say, she's been in the Big 12. As a coach, she's been competing in this scene. She's been recruiting in the Big 12. She has ties to the program. She's alumni. She's also a Norman North product. She's a Norman kid, and she's in her late 30s. A lot of career in front of her, but she's a bridge from the tradition. So she was there. She signed right after they went to the national championship game. She was a part of some really good basketball teams, went to the tournament every year. She was an assistant when they were back in the Final Four mix with the Paris Twins. So she has been a part of Oklahoma basketball at its highest point. And now she's got all this coaching experience under her belt on this trajectory to be a head coach. So I think if you're looking for ties to the state, ties to the program, and a bridge to the tradition, I think Brittany Brown would be a good place to start.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense, especially when you consider Sherry Cole's history as well, an Oklahoma girl, or sorry, Oklahoma woman, who also coached in Norman and then took over the Oklahoma program coming from high school. You know, Brittany Brown, similar kind of road to coaching as well, you know, from Norman, Oklahoma, coached at Oklahoma a little bit elsewhere, got some experience. And it's good to get a little bit of outside experience before you take over a job where you had coached or where you had played or a coach before too. So I think it's a really interesting name. And I think it'll be something that'll be fascinating to watch unfold, because we know that, you know, Joe Castiglione is a, you know, he's a very patient guy. I feel like he's one of the best ADs in America because of that. And he's going to do his due diligence, but I think he's also going to consider kind of what having that connection to Oklahoma means and how that can help build the women's basketball program and continue to build on what Sherry Cole has built over the last 25 years. So that's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Make sure you go and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on the radio.com app, on Google, Apple, and Spotify. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners, on Facebook, Locked On Sooners podcast. We're also available on Instagram at Locked On Sooners. And yeah, again, special shout out to our listener, Ken, for having our guy, Teddy Lehman's back on Twitter. If you're a troll and you're just a troll for troll's sake, you're going to get blocked. It's just the way the other world, the mute button is undefeated, but the block button is the hammer. So just like Teddy Lehman was going to, you know, chase guys down from, you know, behind and then punish them, we will punish you with the block button if you're a troll. So anyway, but again, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Thanks for following us. Thanks for subscribing. And thanks for your reviews. We appreciate the feedback all the time. For David Walker, I'm John Williams. We'll catch you tomorrow. Boomer.
Sooner.